Turn now to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 7, page 925 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading verses 5 through 10. Hosea chapter 7, verses 5 through 10, page 925 in your Scofield. The text verse is the ninth verse. We'll read these verses responsively. In the day of our king, the prince have made him sick. With bottles of wine he stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and they have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do return to the Lord their God, nor seek for him. Seek him for all of this. Okay, now I'm reading a verse that you'll not turn to. Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Then let's pray. Father, we thank you for such a great church, such a wonderful meeting of thy people. Thousands upon thousands are here and will meet here upon this corner. And we're thankful, of course, for that, but we're thankful especially that thou dost faithfully meet with us. Thy blessing has been upon us these many years. And we ask thee for today, please, in a wonderful, sweet, in a special way, meet with thy people. We need thee. Help our hearts to be hungry, our minds to be alert, and very especially bless with an outpouring of thy spirit upon our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'm going to speak to you individually. I'd like for you to feel that I'm talking just to you. Now, if I'm talking to you, it'd be rude if you not listen. So I want to talk just to you. I want to read my text without your turning to it. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. And here's my text verse. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. I want to talk today on the subject unconscious graying. Unconscious graying. Our Heavenly Father, speak through me to the hearts of the people today, and do a work in all of our hearts because of the sermon and the scripture and the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in San Diego, California. I was staying at the motel there, and one of our former members, John Vineyard, the son of Dr. and Mrs. Jim Vineyard, called me on the phone, said, Dr. Hiles, I live out here now, my wife and I live out here, and I haven't seen you for a while, and several years, and I'd like to spend a few minutes with you. Well, I said, John, come on over to the hotel. And I was down almost to the Mexican border in San Diego, and John Vineyard came in. He sat down and looked at me, and he kept staring at me, and he stared. And he stared. And I said, John, is something wrong? He said, no, but something is different. I said, what is it? He said, I can't believe that you're that gray-headed. And I said, I can't believe that you're that untactful either. He said, I just cannot believe. He said, preacher, I haven't seen you in several years. I cannot believe that your hair has turned to gray. Now, any time I filled out a form, any application form, and they said color of hair, I said, Brown. He left, and I did some examining. You won't believe this, but I don't give a flip whether you do or not. I went down to the drugstore. I bought me some of this hair colorer that you can spray on your hair. I bought me some shampoo. They used to have something called Color Back. Remember that? The color. I bought some of that. It took me a big sack to carry all the stuff out of the car. I didn't know it. I had. See, and by the way, you didn't know it like this either because you were here with me all along. And he had not seen me in quite a while. I wonder if that's your spiritual condition this morning. Gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. This passage of Scripture described the spiritual condition of Israel during the turbulent times which followed the reign of the second Jeroboam and during the latter portion of the ministry of Hosea. Falsehood, theft, and every sort of wickedness were rampant in the land. Each new king seemed to outdo his predecessor when it comes to iniquity. The throne belonged to him who could seize it and put to death his rivals. They were headed toward national extinction and destruction, and yet they did not know it. Listen carefully to me. They imagined that they were as strong as other times and that years of prosperity were ahead. They did, if you had asked these people, say to these people, your country's changed. Well, no, we haven't changed. We're just like we always were. You ask Mr. Clinton if this country is like it used to be. Bless his heart. This country has changed as much as his hair has, but he can't see it. Now, these people, the country had changed, gone way down, but they didn't see it. Why? Because it happened gradually. And so the Lord takes this text here and likens it to a graying person that doesn't know he's graying. He says gray hairs. Didn't say you're white hair. It said gray hairs are here and there. And you know, and they know if it not. Now, they could know it if a single night the hair turned from black to white or black to gray. Anybody could know it. But it doesn't happen that way. Believe me, I'm testifying. Bob, you could testify. In fact, look at you, dark hairs are just here and there. And in some cases, few hairs are here and there. How you doing, Brother Depper? But I'm simply saying that if it all happened at one time, but it doesn't all happen at one time. One little gray hair today, and a little gray hair tomorrow, and a little gray hair the next day. And before you know it, one of these days, your hair is white, but it happened one hair at a time. Today is no different from yesterday, and so we're not aware of the process. And here's a nation that was decaying and did not know it. A people that were being destroyed inwardly and did not know it. People that were headed for the judgment of Almighty God and did not know it. Why? Because it happened a little bit at a time. The distance between what we were and what we are has been traveled in single steps. A small difference on the sight of a rifle can cause a great variation before the bullet reaches its target. A tiny misreading of a compass can take the ship miles and miles off course. And so God looks at Israel. They did not know they'd changed, just like some of you. I'm talking to folks here this morning. You're not what you once were, but you think you're what you once were. Because you backslid a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and nobody could see it happen, and you couldn't see it happen, and yet the truth is, you're not near what you used to be, but one hair at a time. This morning, I'd like for you to do what I did in San Diego. Get close to the spiritual mirror and look carefully to see if you have some hairs that are graying. That's what happened to Samson. Samson lost his power because he went to a woman barber. Bless God, I'll never do that. I was in Houston, Texas, preaching, and I had to have a haircut. I saw a barber shop, went to this barber shop, and there were several barbers there. One was a woman. And as fate would have it, when I drew her. I mean, she was the one that was supposed to cut my hair. And she said, next. I said, no way. I walked out the door. She said, where are you going? I said, Samson got in trouble because he went to woman barber. I don't want to lose my power, I'll tell you for sure. And I just went ahead and became a long-haired hippie. Now, all I'm saying is this. The Bible says that Samson lost his power, but it says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. It was so a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day, and before you knew it, Samson had lost his power, but he did not know it. He wist not that the Lord departed from him. In Deuteronomy 19 and verse 14, and Proverbs 22 and verse 28, and Proverbs 23 and verse 10, it says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. And then again in Deuteronomy 27 and 17, God pronounces a curse on one who removed his neighbor's landmark. Let me show you what it is. Let's suppose that this property over here, Brother Scott, is yours. This is your property over here. And this is my property over here. And this is the landmark. Now, they didn't have fences in those days, but they had landmarks, sometimes a piece of stone, sometimes a piece of wood. And the landmark divided my property from yours. Now, here's what the people would do. They'd go when the guy wasn't looking, look over that way, and they'd move the landmark a little bit. Now, he looks back over here. It doesn't look anything different. Why? It just moved just a little bit. And he'd go away again, and he'd move the landmark again. Now, what I'm doing is I'm getting his property. He looks at it. Looks like the same, doesn't it? But it looks away again. And just like my son-in-law, that's the way he's gotten all my money, too, by the way. A little here and a little there. Well, I'm broke, and he's rich. But I was thinking a while ago, he's reading the announcement of the courses. I thought, why can't Brother McKinney teach a course in weight loss? And Brother Scott could teach one in bodybuilding. And Brother Depper could teach one in growing hair. And I could teach one on how to be tactful. But a little, see, the landmark, a little bit at a time. A little bit. Nobody knew it. You couldn't tell it. Just like the hands on a clock. And that's the way you backslid. You know, all of a sudden one day become an alcoholic, you took one little drink. And then another. You know, all of a sudden become an addict. Not a single person today who's bound by alcohol or dope said, I'm going to be an alcoholic. And today he's not, and tomorrow he is. It's a little bit at a time, just like this. And that's what the Lord said. He said to Israel, you're about to be destroyed. You don't know it. You've lost your power. You don't know it. You're away from God. You don't know it. Gray hairs are here and there, but you know it not. Am I talking to you? Have you checked your spiritual hair color lately? Are you what you used to be? Oh, you say I'm the same as I always was. Okay, have somebody hadn't seen you. If somebody had asked me that afternoon before John Vineyard came, Brother House, what color is your hair? I'd say brown. Before he left, I thought I was solid gray. But see, somebody, ask somebody who hadn't seen you who's honest. Somebody hadn't seen you for a while. Hey, you know what? You want to know what First Baptist Church is like? Whether it's changed or not? Ask somebody who came here 15, 20 years ago who comes back to visit. They can tell you whether we're getting gray or not. You want to check out Howells Henderson College? Ask someone who attended Howells Henderson College 20 years ago. Ask them if the college is like it was. I'm trying to say today that the devil calls you backslide one little hair at a time. The landmark. For example, here's your prayer life. You don't stop praying. You just pray a little bit less, and 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 a little bit less. Before you know it, your prayer life is only a shadow of what it used to be. Gray hairs are here and there, but you know it not. Let's take your Bible reading and your Bible study. You just cut it down a little bit, and 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 a little bit. And before you know it, you're almost neglecting the Bible totally. Now God comes to Israel and says, you don't know it. Ladies and gentlemen, the tragic thing is not the fact that a person is backslidden. The tragic thing is he doesn't know about it. And there are people in this room today, all of this room, you've got little gray hairs here and there. But you know it not. A little less prayer, a little less. A little less Bible reading, and then a little less, and then a little less. A little less meditation, a little less, and a little less. A little less conviction, a little less, and a little less. A little less soul winning, a little less, and a little less, and a little less. That's why you need to check that landmark every day of your life and get you something that can check it and keep it there every day of your life, the landmark of your prayer. Keep on praying like you always did. Keep on reading the Bible like you always did. Keep on praising God like you always did. Keep on soul winning like you always did. Keep on separation like you always did. You see, you ladies, they're wearing immodest clothing. You didn't all of a sudden go from a skirt covering your knees to a bunch of to short shorts or bikini bathing suit. That's one reason why we don't change our skirt lengths. But a little bit at a time. Just a little bit. A little bit of relinquishing of your convictions. Just a tad. The backslidden Christian often doesn't know it. The dying church is usually not aware. The decadent college thinks all is the same. The mates are often unaware that their marriage is dying or decaying. The compromising preacher thinks he's like he's always was. And one day, you wake up and you're gray-headed. It didn't happen all of a sudden. A little gray, you didn't see it. A little more gray, you didn't see it. And one day, the church is gone, or the college is gone, or the preacher is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, take your landmark and First Baptist Church of Hammond and put it right where it always was, and let's don't change it a little bit. There's a university in Philadelphia called Temple University. Temple University is one of the hotbeds of liberalism, hotbeds of communism. Temple University was started like Howells Anderson College was started. A Baptist preacher led a fundamental Baptist church to start, turn me down just a bit, would you please? PMN, turn me down just a bit. A fundamental independent Baptist preacher felt led to start a college, a fundamental college to train Christian work, just like Howells Anderson College. Today, Temple University is a hotbed of liberalism as wicked as the devil, and that preacher must have turned over his grave time and time again, but it didn't happen suddenly. A little change. A little more change. Like the hand moving on a clock. And a little more change. And a little more change. University of Chicago, a hotbed of liberalism and wickedness and antichrist. You know how University of Chicago was started? A Baptist preacher and a Baptist church started a Christian college, fundamental Baptist Christian college, just like Howells Anderson College. And that's why I throw so many fits at Howells Anderson College. And that's why I stand up here and say, this college wasn't built to be a University of Chicago. And it wasn't built to be a Temple University. But here's the tragedy. It changes and we don't know it. We get a little gray hair here and a little gray hair there. In God's name, let's check it every day to be sure the landmark is like it always was. Yale University was started a fundamental school. Used to have revivals. Harvard University was started a fundamental school. Princeton was started a fundamental school. I'm saying the honest truth is that the great universities in America were started as King James Bible preaching old-time religion universities. But what happened was they didn't know they were changing. A little bit here. Here's a gray hair, but I can't tell it. Huh. Another gray hair, but I can't tell it. And the simple truth is, you know what? You know what I hate to do? I hate that man right there. You know why? He comes over to our house for Christmas. He brings me a 98-cent gift. I give him one. It costs $400 or $500. That's just one reason I hate it. But let me tell you what really hate him. We have a big mirror in our living room, a real big mirror right in the middle of the room. Go down the middle of the room. It's on the wall. In the middle of the north wall. Now, I look at that mirror every day of my life, and boy, I admire how good looking I am. And I see this bushy head of black hair, and I see this smooth face of mine. But he comes over on Christmas, and sometimes we just accidentally stand in front of that mirror together. Stand up here, son. And we look in that mirror, and I hate his guts. Reckon you shouldn't quit looking at the mirror by yourself. Reckon you ought not to get some good Christian and stand by the mirror beside him and see if you're graying. I look at him, I look at him, and we look in the mirror, and if I look at it by myself, let me say, if I look at it by myself, I say, boy, how trim. Then I get over here, and I say, you big fat slob, you. I look at it by myself, and I say, oh, look at that smooth skin. I look at it up here, and I got that chicken neck hanging right down there like that. I look at it over here, and I say, man alive, your hair is the same color it was when you're 21 years old. I look at it over here, and look at that dumb-looking hair he's got. Now, see, that's your problem. You've been comparing yourself to yourself, but you've not been comparing yourself to what you used to be. The truth is, I hate to even say this, and you really will hate this, but the pictures of me when I was young, I looked an awful lot like Brother Scott. You would think that he was my son if you saw pictures of me when I was young. I looked an awful lot like that. You got a pretty sad outlook ahead of you. You have a horrible future, and I have a horrible past. Now, see, here's what you're doing. You're just looking at yourself, and you think you're as spiritual as you used to be, but oh, listen to me, sailors. Listen, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. You're looking at yourself, and you look the same. And the truth is, if I just look in the mirror by myself every day, I can't tell a bit of difference because I don't change enough to tell it every day. By the time between now I'm 40, time I'm 40 and the time I'm 71, brother, there's a heap of change there. And to me, I look 40 till I get beside him in the mirror. Now, you listen to me. I'm talking to people here today. There was a day when you went soul winning. You don't anymore, but it happened one gray hair at a time. I'm talking to people who used to pray diligently, and now you pray almost none, but it happened one gray hair at a time. I'm talking to people who used to live in that book, but now you hardly ever read it, but it happened one gray hair at a time. Now, the thing to do is check it every day and do what the Lord said. He said, you don't know it. You're graying and don't know it. Get you some old color back. Hey, here's the color back right here. Get some color back and get some hairspray. Here's your color spray here. And get your hair like it used to be and pray like you used to pray and go soul winning like you used to go soul winning and have the same standards you used to have. It happens just one gray hair at a time. Let me say a word about that. When Hiles Anderson College first started, another college started 1 year before us. That college was started by Independent Baptist Church. It was so fundamental that the three speakers they had every year were Lester Olof, Oliver B. Green, and Jack Hiles. Now then, that place has your liberals, your neo-evangelicals, and that school is white-haired. 1 year older than we are, and I wouldn't recommend a hound dog to go to it. Yeah, maybe a hound dog, maybe the one we used to have. But I wouldn't recommend anybody to go to it. Why? Because they're white-haired. 27 years old, that college is, and his hair is white as snow. But the man who's the president of that college, I know him well. I've preached at that school in years gone by, and he's preached here. You walk up to him today and say your college has changed, he'll say you're wrong. We're just like we always were. I saw him in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said to him, what's happened to your school? He said, nothing. We take the same stand we always took. I said, why don't you call your chapel service anymore? Why don't you call it soul winning instead of some other name so that you can get your government money? Now, I'm talking to Christians here just like that man. I say to you, you changed. Listen to me. You say, no, I'm not always was. And yet Howells Anderson College, every once in a while I see a little gray hair in Howells Anderson College, but I try to pluck it out. But Howells Anderson College is predominantly dark-haired today, whereas that school is white-haired. But it didn't happen overnight. It happened 27 years of a little one gray hair here, and one gray hair here, and one gray hair here, and one gray hair here. And I'm talking to Christian people. You're still fundamental. You still believe the King James Bible. If you believe it from cover to cover, of course, you don't open the covers very much. Let me just make it a little plainer. Did you used to work in the bus ministry and quit because you're getting old? Did you get too old to teach the Sunday school class? Now, of course, if I got up here this morning and said, I'm going to resign the church because I'm 71 years of age, you'd say, you'd start chanting like college, we want 50. We want 50. They want me to stay till I've been pastor here 50 years. We want 50. I shout back, I want Florida. I want Hawaii. But we want 50. Hey, let me chant a while. Sunday school teachers, I want 50. I want 50. Bus workers, I want 50. I want 50. Deacons, I want 50. I want 50. I'm trying to say what's happened is used to be you can go to churches all over this country and you can find people that used to be the ones who produced in the church, the soul winners in the church. They still carry their Bibles. They still go to the church, but they just sit there. They passed it on to the next generation, but it didn't happen all overnight. One little gray hair at a time. Ask a question. You see any gray hairs? Look carefully. Hey, no, look carefully. It might be a good idea if you put somebody that's red hot for God up beside you and looked in the mirror beside them. Then do you see any gray hairs? Or ask somebody who's honest and sincere that hasn't seen you for a while and ask them if you changed. I saw the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth change. I'm talking about J. Frank Norris's old church. I'm talking about the cradle of independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist churches. I'm talking about probably the mother church of all independent fundamental Baptist churches in America. I preached there dozens of times. I sat there and talked to young pastors I mentioned recently. I talked to him, and I said to him, man, the church has changed. He said, we're just like we always were. I said, you changed. He said, we're just like we always were. I said, you better take the word of somebody who hadn't seen you for a while. Because you're right there so close, you can't realize that the landmark is being moved. A little bit here. Listen carefully. When First Baptist Church of Hammond joins the relics in the Museum of Historic Great Churches, I'll promise you, you won't know it. I promise you. Just like Samson, you will wist not that the Lord has departed from you. When Howells Anderson College, and someday it will, may God help it to be decades from now, but someday it will if it goes the path of all colleges. When Howells Anderson College loses its breath of heaven, it won't know it. You walk out, you'll ask us out to college, it's not the same. Yes, it is. You might better listen to your critics a little bit more carefully. It just may be that the critics may have a bad spirit, but they may be right. A little gray hair here, a little gray hair, but you won't know it. Mrs. Howes and I grew up at the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, one of the great churches in the Southern Baptist Convention years ago. And one of the four or five larger churches in Dallas. We called it Good Old Hillcrest. Good Old Hillcrest. Good Old Hillcrest changed, but nobody knows it's changed. And they still call themselves Good Old Hillcrest. What they are is gray-haired Hillcrest. But Good Old Hillcrest didn't cease that. The landmark wasn't moved like that. It was a little bit here. And a little bit there. You better listen to me. And a little bit here. If you want First Baptist Church to be what it ought to be 25 years from now, then check the landmark every day. You want Howells Anderson College and Hammond Baptist Schools to be what they've always been, check the landmark every day. before you know it, a little gray hair, and another little gray hair, and another little gray hair, and before you know it, the schools have changed. But by the way, the same thing is true about some of you. Before you know it, you've changed. Every once in a while, I see a gray hair in First Baptist Church. I do the best I can to pluck it out or spray it with color back. Every once in a while, I see a gray hair in Howells Henderson College. Every once in a while, I see a gray hair at Hammond Baptist High School, Junior High School, Grade School. And ladies and gentlemen, I look carefully, and when I started, we started at Howells Henderson College. I took a trip to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I took a trip to Cleveland, Tennessee. I took a trip to Springfield, Missouri. I talked to older people who were at Bob Jones University when it was in Cleveland, Tennessee, when it was first started. I talked to older people that were in Chattanooga when Dr. Robertson started Tennessee Temple School. I talked to older people that were in Springfield when Baptist Bible College first started. And I decided not to copy the Bob Jones University now. I decided to copy the Bob Jones University then. I decided not to copy the university with a few gray hairs coming. I decided to copy the university back before it had gray hairs. And may God in heaven keep this old church here as long as she stands on this corner. May God in heaven keep us without becoming white-haired and a relic and something about history. May the future of this church be as great as the past of this church, but it won't be unless you individually check to see if you have a few gray hairs here and there. What's the cure? Number one, don't change anything. I say it again and again. Just name the institution. It would have been better off if it never tried to improve. University of Chicago improved itself and destroyed itself. Don't change anything. Number two, don't improve anything. Number three, don't grow in graces. Number four, don't add anything. And don't get cute. You've heard me say this. Count those fingers. You can count higher than that, can't you? Okay. Earlene, how many fingers do I have when I was a 10-year-old boy? Five. Well, you saw me when I was born. I mean, as a baby, you knew me. How many fingers do I have on each hand as a baby? Not fair. Churches all of America trying to grow six fingers. No, you don't add anything. You make larger what you have. The new evangelical crowd just tried. They were once fundamental people, and they tried to improve, but you don't improve on the old-time gospel. You don't improve on the old-time religion. I have the same members of my body I had 71 years ago. So may I say this. Let's grow in what we already have. Let's grow in prayer. Let's grow in the book. Let's grow in soul winning. Let's grow in separation. Let's grow in our stand for the same doctrine and the same standards and the same methods. Yale University, Harvard, Princeton, Chicago University, Temple University, and others of our time are gray and did not know it was happening. That's why I study me. You know whom I study? You know who my favorite preacher is? The young Jack Hiles. I study him. Paul said to Timothy, take heed to thyself. What he was saying was study thyself. He was saying, Paul, Timothy, while you're young, study yourself. And then he said, stay yourself. Don't change yourself. I listened to my tapes of years ago to see what kind of preacher I am. You know, as an old preacher, you know, I don't enjoy standing up here and jumping off the chair. Boy, it hurts when I jump off. My hernia goes, you know why I jump off the chair? Because the young Jack Hiles jumped off the chair. You know why I kick over microphones? Because the young Jack Hiles kick over microphones. You know why I scream and holler? Because the young Jack. I don't. don't want to change anything, because for some reason or other, God bless the young Jack Hiles, and God bless the young Dwight Moody, and God bless the young Moody Bible Institute, and God bless the young Temple University, and God bless the young University of Chicago. Why change if the hand of God is there? Don't change it. Leave it alone. So I ask you this morning, look carefully at yourself. Listen to me, I'm talking to you. Look carefully at yourself. Not talking to your neighbor. And at this moment, I'm not even talking about First Baptist Church or Hammond Baptist Schools or Howells Anderson College. Right now, I want you to look at yourself. You say, what kind of mirror can I look in? That mirror right there. Look carefully at yourself. Look carefully. Do you see a gray hair here and there? Look carefully. Look carefully. Might be a good idea if you got an old picture out of what you used to look like. And boy, that's discouraging too. I was preaching down south a few months ago. Some little kid brought my book up on teaching on preaching. I hate kids. I don't, but that one I do. He brought my book, and the front of that book is just a picture of me. He stood there. He looked at the book. He looked at me. He looked at the book. He looked at me. He looked at the book. He held the book up beside me. He said, is that you? I said, son, in Jesus' name, drop dead. Reckon you ought not to look carefully to see if you have a few gray hairs? The nation of Israel, decaying and didn't know it, dying and didn't know it, about to be under the wrath and judgment of Almighty God and didn't even know it. And God said, gray hairs are here and there, and thou knowest it not. All right, this morning I want you to think for a moment. Make your mind a mirror. What were you? What were you? Now, this question, what are you? Would you mind comparing your prayer life now to what it used to be? Would you mind comparing your styles of dress now to what they used to be? Would you mind comparing your time in this old book now with what it used to be? Be honest with yourself. Now, just like I always was. That's what Hillcrest said. That's what the colleges started to say about the same time our college. That's what the president said. And by the way, they're sincere. They're not lying. As far as they know, they're sincere. We're like we always have been. But God says, I see a few gray hairs. What does God see today? Not what do you see. What does God see? When God looks at you, does he say what he said to Israel of old? Gray hairs are here and there, and thou knowest it not. I started off about 33 minutes ago saying I want to talk to you personally, individually. I'm talking to you now. I'm talking to every child in this room, every teenager, every young couple, every middle-aged couple, every older person. I'm talking to everybody in this room. I'm talking to you personally. Look carefully. Better still, what do you think God sees? A gray hairs are here and there, and thou knowest it not. And Samson wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Would you bow your heads, please?